This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day to be in the house of God together, and it's my joy to welcome you this morning, especially if you're visiting with us for the first time. We're so glad that you came this morning and hope that you feel welcomed and feel the spirit of love and Christ moving in this place. All of us, as we gather this morning, are invited and encouraged to sign in. We have registration pads on the pews, and hopefully they're making their way down the pew. And if you would sign those and let us know that you were here and notice the names of the friends sitting on the pew with you. And if there's a name you don't recognize, be sure and reach out in fellowship at the end of the service. If you are visiting with us, we hope you will sign in as well. And we would invite you after the service to join some of us in Reed Hall, which is just outside this doorway. We'll have some of our Andrew ministers there who will be able to answer questions about our congregation and show you around and maybe let you find a Sunday school class this morning. So we hope you'll join us in Reed Hall after the service. Also happening in Reed Hall are the sign-ups for Room in the Inn. This is our ministry of hospitality, which runs through November through March. We host 12 homeless men on Wednesday nights, and we need lots of volunteer and participation support. So some of those sign-up sheets are in Reed Hall this morning if you'd like to take a look at those. A couple other announcements of things that are coming up. Tonight at 5 o'clock, we have our all-church picnic. This is for people of all ages, and it's the home of Buster and Kathy Scholl, and all the details are in your insert this morning. Also wanted to let you know that tomorrow our staff will be away on retreat, so most of us will be out of the building tomorrow, but we would appreciate your prayers as we gather for planning and prayer and play together. And then next Sunday, October 1st, our young adults are going to gather at noon after the late service to go to Beeman Park for a hike together, and that will be back here by about 3 o'clock. More details in the insert with that as well. We're continuing our journey through some of the parables of Jesus this morning, and we come across one of the most difficult ones, at least in my opinion. It invites us to examine ourselves and why it is that we follow Jesus and what that's all about for us. So let us open our hearts and minds to this parable and to this hour of worship.
Thank you. Come and worship. Whether we are first or last or somewhere in between, we continue to believe that we must earn our way into God's heart. But God's grace is given to each of us, for all of us, freely and unconditionally, always. Let us open our lives to this mercy as we pray together, saying, "It seems we cannot decide, gracious God. We say we will live to serve others, but end up meeting only our needs. We claim to live in a way that honors Christ, but we do not take him to work, school, home. We believe that the gospel can transform lives, even and especially our own. Forgive us, Holy One, instead of grumblers, may we be ambassadors of grace. Instead of continual complaining, may we carry compassion to the hurting. Instead of whiners, may we be workers with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to reach out and bring the kingdom of God to everyone we meet." Friends, this is the good news. There is no ranking in God's kingdom. God graces everyone with the same gifts: mercy, restoration, new life. God has kept the covenant of love. We have been forgiven. We have been made new. Thanks be to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scripture are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only an hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of God for the people of God.
Everybody, I'm glad to see you. We've heard another parable of Jesus, another story that Jesus told to his followers. So I'd like to tell you a story that it made me think about. Last year in December, I went to visit a school. We had some teenagers, some youth from our church where I was going, who would go every week on Tuesday afternoon to this school in the neighborhood. And they would tutor the kids, they'd play with them, they'd teach them how to read, they'd do music with them. I mean, they were there every Tuesday afternoon helping these children. So one day in December, I decided I wanted to go and just see what it was all about, to meet some of the kids and meet some of the teachers and say yay to the youth who were doing this work. And on that day, all of the teachers at the school decided to give Christmas presents to all the volunteers. And so I had shown up for the first time. I hadn't done any work. I hadn't done anything at all. And I got a present, just like everybody else. I got one of these wonderful coffee mugs. It's ceramic, so it's really, really strong, and it keeps my coffee really hot. But I thought, I don't deserve this. Just showed up today for the first time. I haven't done any work as part of this program. But you know what was really neat? All of the kids who helped, all the volunteers, all the teachers said, you know what, we have plenty to go around. We're just glad you're here. This story that Jesus told, there was a landowner who treated people all the same. He gave them all gifts because he loved them. And it didn't matter if they'd been working all day or if they had just shown up like I had just shown up. And God is that loving and generous to you and me. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for being so loving and so generous. You want us to do everything we can to follow you, but that's not why you love us. You love us because you created us and you are God. So help us just to be grateful for your many, many gifts and for your love. And help us be kind and generous to everybody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back and sit with your parents or grandparents or friends. Well, of all the parables of Jesus, I think this one is the hardest for me. Most of Jesus' parables have a way of drawing us in and then taking a turn on us, shocking us in some way. The parable of the Good Samaritan shocked Jesus' audience that the hero of that story would be a foreigner that they didn't like. The story of the man who leaves 99 sheep to go and find one is a little shocking the more we think about it and dig into it. So Jesus uses these shock elements in a lot of his parables to get our attention and to make us think about things. And this parable has a moment of shock in it that I just don't like. All of those workers had been hired by the landowner. And those who had worked all day long were paid the same amount as those who had worked 1 hour. And Jesus seems to add to the element of shock by having those workers line up from last to first. So those who had only worked an hour get paid a full day's wage. He's just setting up those earliest workers. He wants them to watch and see how much those latest workers are paid. You know what I'm saying? It's like he wants them to stand up and say, that's not fair. And he wants his audience, he wants us, I think, to identify with those first hired workers and stand up and say, that's not fair. Because it's not fair. But the parable invites us to look at that response, to look within ourselves and explore, why do I feel that way? What is it about this story that makes me feel like the landowner is unfair? Well, I think if we look at how these first hired workers respond to the landowner, it will give us some clues and maybe reveal some things about ourselves. They say to the landowner, "You have made them equal to us. You have made those who were hired at 5 o'clock, who only worked an hour, equal to us." Are there places in my own spirit where I say that to God? Are there people in this world who are them to me? Who might be them to you? That God, you would love them as much as you love me? You see, Jesus is talking in this parable to insiders. If we look at the context, he's talking to his disciples, not just the 12, but many of those who had been following him. They'd left their homes, they had left everything to follow him wherever he went. They'd been with him for a long time, and he knows that. And we are insiders too, aren't we? I think most of us have been coming to church for a while. There may be somebody who walked in the door this morning and this is your first time ever to worship in a church. And if that's the case for you, I hope you feel welcome and feel the love and grace of God in this place this morning. But I think most of us have been in the habit of coming to church. You get up on Sunday morning and instead of going to Starbucks or instead of going somewhere else, or instead of staying in bed, you get up and come to church. Reminds me of a friend of mine in seminary who named his bed the Word so he could say, "I stayed in the Word this morning." Ha ha ha, yeah. That's a choice. You could stay in bed, but you've made a choice to be here to worship God. And you make choices to say your prayers and to read your scriptures and to go out into the world and to work for social justice and do all of these things that we know God wants us to do. And we think, God, doesn't that earn us some favor? I mean, we know you love everybody, but don't you like us just a little bit extra? It's one of those things that we proclaim with our lips, or I proclaim with my lips. Let me just speak for myself. That God's grace is available to all, that God loves everybody unconditionally, God loves everybody equally, but in my bones I sort of hope that all the effort I'm making might make me a little more favorable to God. And so I identify with these first hired workers. When somebody who's been sleeping in all their lives on Sunday morning and doing nothing to make the world a better place and not doing anything to pursue a relationship with God, if they can at the very last minute turn to God and be just as received and as loved by God as I am, that doesn't seem fair. So this parable calls me to examine that reaction. Do I really, truly believe that the kind of God that I worship is a God who does love all people as much as God loves me? This parable tests that belief for me. And if that's true, if we're all loved equally, then that might raise the question within us, well, then what's the point? Why am I doing all this? Why do I get up early on Sunday morning? Why am I reading my Bible? Why am I working so hard out in the world to help others If it doesn't make God love me more, what's the point? Which brings us to the second thing that these workers say to the landowner. They say, "You have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." Is that what life with God feels like for us? A burden and scorching heat? Do we get up and come to worship on Sunday morning because, well, I guess we should. It's what Mama told me to do. Do we work in the world because, well, I guess we're supposed to help the poor? Do we give and tithe because we feel guilty or we think God's going to be mad at us? Does life with God feel like a burden to us? Is that something this parable unearths within us? If that's the case, maybe we need to consider this story from the other end of the spectrum. Last week, Susan Brown did a ministry moment for Room in the Inn to invite us all to participate in that ministry where we invite 12 homeless men into our church to spend the night. And I learned this week that those men, when they stay here, get up really early on Thursday morning, get in the church bus, and go downtown so that they can be at the labor pool at 6:30 in the morning in the hope that someone will hire them for work. Have you ever seen a labor pool? Have you ever been part of one? Can you imagine what it feels like to be standing there and watching other people get hired? And it's 9 o'clock, and then noon comes, and it's 3 o'clock, and you haven't been given work, and you don't know how you're going to feed your family when you get home? Imagine what it was like for those workers who waited all day for somebody to hire them, and the anxiety that must have caused for them. Those who were hired first, they knew they had a good day's work. They knew they would get paid enough at the end of the day. They had purpose. They had meaning. They had a sense of belonging. That wasn't the case for the last hired. And so for those of us who might be considered insiders, do we realize the tremendous gift we've been given? At the 11 o'clock service, we're going to baptize 2 children. And from day one, those children are going to be shown and told that they are beloved children of God. They have a place of belonging. Their lives have a higher purpose. They are called into the kingdom of God, and they have the gift of working in the kingdom of God and receiving all of that love and grace every day of their lives. And that same gift and grace is ours, not meant to be a burden, not meant to be done out of guilt or obligation, but out of joy and gratitude. So maybe you and I could rewrite this parable a little bit. When it comes to that moment when all those workers are lined up and the last hired are first and the first hired are last, as we see those who were hired at 5 o'clock getting a full day's wage, might we instead rejoice with them? Wow, how lucky you are. You still are going to get enough to feed your family. I'm so sorry you had to stand out in the marketplace and be worried all day. Isn't it amazing that we have spent the day working for this generous, kind landowner who gives everybody enough? I think I might want to work for this guy on a permanent basis. This parable reminds us of the generous God who pours out radical grace on all of us and helps remind me, and I hope you as well, to live out of gratitude. So let us together stand and affirm our faith in the God of abundant grace. Number 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have a prayer request that you would like to share, please fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you. Please indicate if you'd like your prayer request to be shared or if it should remain confidential. You can place it in the offering plate in a few moments. The rose on the communion table this morning is to celebrate the birth of Helena Louise Martin. She was born September the 12th to Allison and Travis Martin. She's also welcomed by her grandmother, Pat Holdridge. Our thoughts and prayers are with many West End members as they grieve the loss of ones that they've loved. Melissa Penry Williams of Lynchfield, Kentucky, died August the 29th at her mother's home in Paducah, Kentucky. Rick, Helen, Isabel, and Vivian Sanders are mourning the death of Rick's father, Dick Sanders, who died September the 16th in San Francisco, California. They are also mourning the loss of Rick's stepfather, Gary Rich, who died on August the 4th in California. Andrew, Josie, and Barrick Nielsen are mourning the death of Andrew's father, Dr. Craig Morgan Nielsen, who died September the 17th in Greenville, South Carolina. Our longtime custodian, Stefan Gergel, is mourning the death of his father, Stefan Gergel Sr., who died September the 20th in Veripole, Slovakia. Services were held there on Saturday. Carolyn Morrison Barton died on Wednesday, September the 20th. Her memorial service will be held this afternoon, Sunday, September 24th, at 2 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Visitation in Reed Hall will precede the service starting at 1 p.m. She is survived by Laura Riley and John Barton, her daughter and son, and their families. Robin Moore is mourning the loss of her mother, Laura Pepper Moore, who died on September the 21st. Visitation will be Tuesday, September the 26th, from 11:30 to 1 at First Baptist Church of Nashville, and Wednesday, September the 27th, from 10 to 11:30 at Cole and Garrett Funeral Home in Goodlettsville, Tennessee. Let us now offer our silent and spoken prayers. This morning, I choose to borrow a familiar words from the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is division, unity. Where there is error, truth. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much see to be consoled, but to console, to be understood as to understood, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned.
and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And now we join in the most familiar of prayers, the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now I'd like to invite Kirby Davis to tell us a little more about an organization in Nashville called Open Table.
Good morning, everyone. Open Table, not the app, is an organization in Nashville that is dedicated to disrupting cycles of poverty, journeying with the marginalized, and educating others about homelessness. For the last 2 years, West End, along with Belmont and Calvary, have supported a resource navigator, and we're fortunate to have her here this morning, Ms. Elizabeth Langdon Martin. My relationship with Open Table goes back to 2013, when their executive director, Ingrid McIntyre, and I started the were part of the core group that started House Nashville. And in all my 4 years working to end homelessness in Nashville, I can tell you there's no other organization that knows their people they're working with like Open Table. And I'd like Elizabeth to come up and tell you a story about one of them.
Good morning, thank you for having me. Like Kirby said, my name is Elizabeth, and I work on the west side doing homeless outreach and resource navigation. I wanted to tell you a little bit this morning about my friend named Tom. Tom is a native to Nashville. His family, his grandmother owned a house on the west side, and he grew up here. He has been experiencing homelessness for about 2 years, and I met him earlier this summer. Some things that I love about Tom are the following. Tom is an incredible poet. He writes for The Contributor, and each time he's published, he gifts me one of the issues, and so I have a pretty beautiful collection of his work and his poems, and I get a little glimpse into the way that he sees life and the way he processes his life and his faith through his work of poetry. Tom loves video games, which kind of surprised me. He's in his early 60s, and so as a young person who constantly struggles with technology, I love learning about his passion for the newest technology and his love of video games. Tom sells The Contributor here in West Nashville. For many months, he has slept in Centennial Park. And so earlier this summer, I met Tom, and he and I kind of hit it off and started building a relationship together. We identified the documents that he would need to get into housing. We started filling out applications for Section 8 to try to get him a subsidy to help him get back on his feet. And I'm really happy to report that earlier this month, Tom was able to move into his own space. We celebrated with him and have just been so blessed to be able to see him established in his own home and kind of feeling like himself once again. He's continuing to write beautiful poetry. He's looking for other kinds of part-time work. And it has just been a blessing and an honor to be a part of his journey. Before I met Tom, he's a veteran. He served in the Navy. Before I met Tom, he was really discouraged about his housing options. He had connected some with the VA, and I'm not sure the entire story, but he left the experience kind of feeling pretty let down and sad, and a little bit like housing might not be an option for him moving forward. And so through our relationship and through getting to see him move in to his own space and start to imagine what his life will look like moving forward has really been a blessing to me and to our community. And I'm so thankful for the role that West End plays in Open Table, and specifically in my employment with Open Table. And so I just wanted to share that little snippet of my friend Tom and invite you to celebrate along with us in his newfound housing. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. So our October communion offering will go to support West End's commitment to pay a third of Elizabeth's salary, which our commitment's $10,000, and we've received a pledge from a donor to match every gift, so please give generously. Now, great is God's mercy toward us. Let us offer a portion of what God has given us with humble and grateful hearts.
please be seated, and I'd like to invite those who are joining to come forward. First, I'd like to introduce you to Brent and Jennifer Lankford. Brent is an attorney with Stites and Harbison, and Jennifer is an attorney with Thompson Burton. Brent is transferring from Grace United Methodist Church in Jackson, Tennessee, and Jennifer is transferring from First Baptist Church in Lexington, Tennessee. Next, we have Jessica Murray. Jessica is a student at Vanderbilt University, majoring in secondary education and mathematics. She's joining as an affiliate member, which means that she'll also maintain her membership at her home church of Heritage United Methodist Church in Van Buren, Arkansas. And then we have Thomas and Jesse Merritt. Thomas is in healthcare consulting with R1, and Jesse is an insurance broker with Capacity Southeast. They're transferring from Christ Church Cathedral downtown. Jennifer, Thomas, and Jesse, this first question is for you. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And to all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand? Join me in affirming our newest members. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Brent, Jennifer, Thomas, Jesse, and Jessica are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
Now may we go from this place to serve God and serve neighbor in all that we do, not out of obligation, but out of joy and gratitude. Go in that joy and in that peace.
Amen.